Welcome to Faith Renewed, a ministry of Faith Recovery Fellowship right here in Alaska. Knowing Jesus as Lord is the most important thing in our lives, and we aim to share the true gospel with everyone. Join us as we share that very message today. We invite you to know the Lord Jesus Christ so that you may know true salvation. You can also visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org, that's O-R-G, for more information about our local church. God is good, and Jesus saves all who surrender their lives to Him. Amen.
Turn to chapter 1, and we're going to be taking a quick look today through chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. One of the big things that I want us to kind of take away from this today is just be thinking about the trials or things that you've been through either in recent history or in the past that has caused you to take a step back and really reflect on what was the purpose of that trial and how did it affect me? Did I grow? How did I respond? Was it positive or was it negative? We're going to be seeking to kind of pull that information from James, how we should be responding to the trials that we face in our life, and learning to apply that in a positive way. So that's one of the big takeaways that we're going to be really kind of focusing on today in the book of James. So again, James chapter 1, verse 1, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let the endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in his ways. But the brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position, and the rich man is to glory in his humiliation, because like flowering grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with the scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flowers fall off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too is the rich man in the midst of the pursuits will fade away. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. Lord, Father, thank you again for just bringing us here. We just pray for this time of study, Father, that you would prepare our hearts and our minds, Father, and that you would speak truths to us through your scripture, Father. I just ask that you would continue to mold us and to shape us, as nobody here is perfect, Father, and that every trial we face gives us an opportunity to learn and to develop ourselves, Father. I just pray and ask that you would just be teaching us today out of this scripture how to better handle those challenges that we face, those trials that we face in our lives, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so I'm sure nobody here has ever faced any trials in their lifetime. I know I haven't. You know, I've lived a pretty blessed life. I haven't had any problems. I've never had an injury. I've never made any missteps. I've never sinned. And I've never done a lot of those things that, you know, maybe everybody else has. Obviously, I'm joking. That's not real. But I can say for sure that all of those things are applicable to me. I've been injured. I've said things I shouldn't have done. I've sinned. I've followed my desires. I've done those things that the book of James is going to talk about. We are all susceptible to this. And it's not about when these things will happen to us. We know that it's going to. So we have to be prepared. And so that's the premise of today's message, is that we would be prepared for those trials and how we are going to react to those things. I know that when I was in the military, I've lost brothers and sisters. I've experienced tragedies along the way, whether it be in my family who is separate from me at the time, you know, back home in Massachusetts. You know, no matter what, no matter where we are in our lives, we will continue to face these trials. Now, the book of James, if you haven't heard much about this, we'll just do a quick overview so that we can kind of get a taste of what is James, the book of James, and what is his kind of mentality when he's approaching these things. Now, the book of James has been called the Proverbs of the New Testament at times. There's lots of practical lessons for how to live a Christian life that's contained in the book of James. Now, traditionally, the book is attributed to the brother of Jesus. He's the half-brother of Jesus, who was the leader of the Jerusalem church. You know, obviously different father than Jesus. As we know that God is, you know, Jesus's father. And so Joseph would be the worldly father for James. And so what we see is that in Matthew 13:55, he's got four half brothers and at least two half sisters. So we know that this family tree, you know, the umbrella is pretty wide and lots of people have come from that lineage. As we know from the Old Testament, there's lots of history that got us to that point in the New Testament where Christ was walking amongst his followers. And so this was not James the apostle that was martyred by King Herod. And traditionally, you know, James, he had a funny name and it was Old Camel Knees. And so the reason he had that name is because his knees were so calloused from being on his knees in prayer. He was definitely a prayer warrior. And so he was also named James the Just. And so that was another nickname for him. But tradition says that he himself was martyred in AD 62, being thrown from the temple wall. Now, Ananias called a council with the Sanhedrin and he called for him to renounce his faith, which he, of course, refused. And so we should all aspire to have that that fervorance and that willingness to sacrifice ourselves in defense of the faith. But this book was written to the Jewish Christians that were scattered across the various regions. And so one thing that was in common with them is that they were suffering or living in poverty. And if you believed in Jesus at that time as a Jew, if you believed that he was the Messiah, they were persecuted and ostracized at that time. And so again, this book is designed for us now and in this day, and also to those Jewish Christians to give them this practical Christian living advice. And so some of the key themes that we see throughout James, I'm not going to go through every one of them, but is faith and works and trials and perseverance and temptations, wisdom, taming of the tongue. Those are just a few of the lessons that are practically taught through the book of James. And if you're a Christian by belief, you should be recognized by your behavior. And so that's what James highlights here, how we respond to these different challenges that we face. And so we should be rejoicing in trials for spiritual growth. All right. So again, in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, we start to see what James is getting into here. He's telling us that we should consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So when we see that phrase, that word consider in verse 2, really what that's trying to tell us is that we should chalk it up or regard it as joy. So the trials are not something for us to fear and or to avoid in life, but it is an opportunity for us to grow spiritually. And so there's three primary purposes that we see for trials that we would endure in life. One is for maturation, for us to mature. These trials are going to help us grow spiritually. In verse 3 and 4, and then in Romans 5, 3, 5, it says, "And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that the tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proving character, and proving character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." So we have some reinforcement there, other scripture to help us interpret what it is that James is saying. And so one of the second reason that we might experience trials is for correction. And so sometimes the trials that we face are the results of our own disobedience. God may allow hardships to redirect us in our lives. especially if we have a rebellious heart. If we're rebelling against God and we're not listening to what it is that he's put forth in Scripture, the truths that are in Scripture, or we're not listening to him as we should, he can use these trials to help redirect us in that rebellious heart. Sometimes we have to get to that rock bottom place before that correction will occur. And so I know what that feels like. I've been there in my life where I just had to cry out to the Lord and just realize that as a rebellious person at that point in my life, there's nothing that I could do in my own power that would have changed me. And so I had to seek the Lord and give it to him. Now, and the third one is direction. Trials redirect our lives, and not all trials are disciplinary. So let's remember that, okay? Again, this is not necessarily to discipline us, but Paul, for example, what was he doing? He was heading to Rome, and he gets what? Shipwrecked on the island of Malta. And so, but when he was there and he was redirected, God used him to heal people and to preach the word. God redirected his life. It was very purposeful. And not always due to disobedience do we experience that. Have you guys ever tried to go somewhere like from here to Walmart and something happens and you don't get to your final destination? Well, maybe you find out later in the day that there was an accident on Parks Highway and you look back and you say, praise God that I wasn't involved in that. That could have been me. Sometimes there's delays or detours in our lives through his divine providence that help us to avoid calamity. And he's looking out for us in that way. Sometimes it's a flat tire. Sometimes it's a loss of a job, which forces you to move to somewhere else, which then maybe you experience joy in your life as a result of that move. So it's important for us to not get so caught up in what the trial is, but be seeking to find out what it is the Lord's trying to teach us. And so trials and difficulties, again, they're part of life. James urges us to view them as opportunities for growth. And so considering trials as joy and seeing them through God's eyes and his perspective, even when we don't understand why God allows certain hardships, we can trust that all of his purposes are for our good. And instead of resisting that trial in what it is that God's trying to teach us, or being overwhelmed by that hardship and just feeling that heavy weight of despair, we can embrace it as a means to really develop our perseverance and remember that patience and spiritual maturity can come through that pressure that we're experiencing. And we don't really know the depth, like our own depth, until we face and see how we respond in those trials in our lives. Some trials are worse than others. However, don't forget that diamonds are formed from coal, right? That hard lump of coal through pressure. That intense pressure that the coal experiences will turn it to a diamond. So faith also is refined through life's trials. And so we have to look at it from that perspective. There's also another way for us to kind of dig through this, is that when we face those difficult situations, we should be asking, how can I grow through this? We have to be kind of deliberate about this. When this trial happens, how can I grow through this? Rather than why is or how is this happening to me, can you seek to know the Lord's will, what the goodness of his intentions are, right? Not everything is negative and bad, right? We can always find a way to grow spiritually through the challenges. And so there is a promise that perseverance brings blessing, and that's looking ahead. We're going to take a quick peek ahead at James 1:12. He says that he reminds us that one day, one who remains steadfast under trial will receive the crown of life promised by God to those who love him. And so when we get to verse 12, we'll be able to sneak through that, and we're going to see that highlighted there. But we should also be in a position, we should be humble enough to reflect on this from an honest perspective. When these things happen, do you tend to rely on yourself during these trials and how you can fix it, what's in your scope of control? Or are you relying and drawing closer to God in those trials? That's one of the ways that we can really focus our perspective and say, is this a me problem or is this a God problem, right? Am I listening intently to him, and how can I get through this? So it's kind of like a muscle, right? If you think about this over time, so when you go to the gym or you work out, a muscle that strengthens through resistance training our faith is strengthened through those trials and the resistance that we face in our lives. That's a real practical way to think about that. As your muscles grow from exercising, so does our faith and our willingness to follow God. And so when we look at verses 5-8, as we progress in the chapter, we should be looking at this and saying, how can we ask God for wisdom in faith? How can we be seeking to look at this trial that I'm going through, and how could I turn that into something that's valuable, right? So the key point here is that in times of difficulty, we should ask God for wisdom to navigate those trials. This is one practical way that we can approach growth in a trial. How can we get better? How can we learn? How can we look back on this and ask, God, what is it you're trying to teach me here? We're going to do this through seeking His wisdom. And there's a difference here and a very important distinction between three important terms. One is knowledge. The other is understanding, and the other is wisdom. We can sometimes try to use these words interchangeably, but they are very different and they are distinct. So knowledge, that's accumulating the knowledge. That's something we want to do. We want to go out, get the information about a particular topic, and we want to gather that. So we should be also thinking about it from the perspective of us. We want to seek the knowledge of God through His word, what He's written for us and what He's provided for us. We're going to search the scriptures. We're going to seek the knowledge of God through His word. That's our knowledge piece. Now, understanding is how we interpret the word of God. That's the other piece. Now, wisdom, the key word here, this is how we apply the knowledge that we've gained and the understanding that we've taken from the word. Wisdom is the application of those two. And so Proverbs 2:6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth come knowledge and understanding." So all three right there in that one verse from Proverbs 2:6, His mouth come knowledge and understanding. And so in life, we often face moments where we don't know what to do, right? And that's when James 1:5 encourages us to ask God for that wisdom. Again, he says, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." And so in life, when we face those things, those promises that he's discussing, God promises to give wisdom generously to anyone who seeks it. So that's me and you. We can seek that wisdom. And he will do it without hesitation or reproach. And so what does reproach mean, right? Sometimes we have these words in there, it can be kind of confusing, but without, at its core, without reproach means that it's faultless and is blameless and it's free from criticism and from shame. And so when we come to the Lord and we seek his wisdom, he's not going to look down upon us and accuse us and judge us. And that's without reproach, is that we can come to him seeking that knowledge and know that he is going to be looking upon us without fault or blame and will be free from criticism or shame, right? So the key, however, in this moment is to ask in faith, trusting that he will answer. And if you don't have faith and if you don't trust that the word of God is true and you don't trust that through your prayer and through your petition to the Lord that he will actually do something from it, then we will face a challenge from that because we don't have good faith. We're not coming because verse 6 says that we must ask in faith without any doubting. And so if we come doubting, tells us here in scripture, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea and it's driven and tossed by the wind. That man, that person who comes to me and asks with doubt should not expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. We should not be double-minded or unstable. This is an important aspect of this. Again, James is telling us you have to be steadfast in what you're doing, what you're thinking in petitioning him. Now, Matthew chapter 21, verses 18 through 22, he provides an example for us to kind of reflect upon here. And this is the barren fig tree, if you guys remember this story. So they're walking along. And in verse 18, it says, "Now in the morning, when he was returning to the city," so back to Jerusalem, "he," Jesus, "became hungry. And seeing a lone fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it except leaves only. And he," Jesus, "said to it, 'No longer shall there ever be any fruit from you.' And at once the fig tree withered." In verse 20, it says, seeing this, the disciples were amazed and asked, how did the fig tree wither all at once? And Jesus answered and said to them, truly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will happen. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. And so then, again, scripture interprets scripture. That gives us more information to help expand this thought in the book of James. If we come to him in faith and we petition him appropriately, then just like the disciples, we will have a positive response from him within the confines of scripture as it's outlined here. We must come believing. And in James, at that point, he further describes that faith and that it kind of manifests itself into action. God hears the prayers of those who live, whose lives demonstrate that they live in faith with him. And so whenever we're uncertain in our lives, whenever we should be boldly asking God for guidance and trusting that he will lead us with clarity and with peace, and that he will give us wisdom for the decisions that we face in life, whether that be in our personal relationships or at work relationships or personal struggles that we face, he will be with us in giving us that clarity and peace if we are seeking him humbly. And so this trust in God's provision really steadies our hearts and helps us to move forward with that confidence. It's kind of like coaching a team, right? So if you imagine a soccer coach or a baseball coach or whatever it is, you know, that coach can be out there and he could study and read how to be a coach. He can go to school for it, go to college, get education on how to be a coach. But that knowledge is useless unless he has the wisdom on how to apply it. He can get the knowledge, he can understand it, but if he doesn't have the wisdom, it's useless. There are many things that you can study and learn about, childhood, children, parenting, for that example, investments, marketing, all those different things. But if you don't have the wisdom on how to apply that, your result is not going to be what you're looking for. So in verses 6-8, we start to see something else kind of happen here. We see that there's a warning against doubt. Real quick, it says that we shouldn't be a double-minded man. We shouldn't be unstable in all our ways. What does that really mean? Verse 6, it says, he must ask in faith without any doubts, or for the doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the ocean. There's a heavy warning in there, and really doubt destabilizes us, okay? But trusting in God brings that stability back. And so when we're double-minded, it's being described as somebody who tries to live two contradictory lifestyles. I'm living in the world and I'm trying to follow God, okay? So James describes a life of instability. That behavior of the sea waves, it's unsettled, right? It's always moving, the sea is. And so it's going back and forth and it's driven by the different winds. And so that's kind of like the doubter's mind, right? When your circumstances change and you doubt God's providence in your life and you're just kind of going with the flow. You're just allowing each circumstance to kind of blow you through life rather than being focused on the Lord. And so such a person that wavers like that between those two choices may end up in the end, they may make no decision at all. They get decision paralysis where they just can't move forward because they're seeking to do things on their own and not through the Lord. And so when God's promises and commands are given equal authority with our feelings, meaning God's commands, my personal desires, or the world's ideas, the result is an unsettled sea of indecision and chaos because we're never allowing God to be in control because we're trying to make decisions on based on the secular world and the things that are happening around us and the things that we believe, not trusting in God. And so we are called to faith that's unwavering and it's free from doubt and that double-mindedness, okay? We need to make sure that we're committing to God, to trusting him completely, that we're avoiding that trap of doubt or double-mindedness, and that we are being consistent in our faith, that we're studying his word and we're seeking his will and we're prayerfully considering the circumstances in our life and how to navigate those different trials. And we should be seeking the Lord's wisdom with a proper and sincere heart, seeking with a trusting heart that he will give us that wisdom that we're seeking as we pursue him.
As we close, James reminds us that the Christian life is not marked by ease, but by trust in our faithful God. Trials are not meaningless interruptions. They are instruments in the hands of our sovereign Lord, who is shaping his people for maturity. When we lack wisdom, we are invited to ask, not doubting God's goodness, but resting in his generosity. When temptation comes, we are reminded that sin never gives life, but God always does. Above all, James points us to the unchanging character of God. Every good and perfect gift comes from him, and the greatest gift is new life through the word of truth. Salvation, endurance, and growth all flow from his gracious will, not our strength. May this passage encourage us to endure with joy, pray with confidence, and cling to Christ alone, trusting that the God who began a good work in us is faithful to complete it. We would also like to ask you to partner with us as we reach across the state of Alaska on radio, and Lord willing, TV as well. Everything helps when it comes to making sure more and more people have the chance to hear the gospel of Christ, for there is no other message of salvation on earth. As Christ continues to change lives, we ask you to visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org to help us in the way of donations to ensure that more have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection.